Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Coming your way in 20 minutes, are the Niners as dangerous as any wild card team in the NFL playoffs? Also, stunned to a news in 40 minutes. The Steelers are on a wild ride. We thought this thing was over. We thought it was done. We thought Big Ben had played his final game. Not so fast. They've got a trip to Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday night. And so we'll talk about that. Or is that Sunday night? That's the Sunday night game. So we'll talk about that this hour as well. National championship game, Georgia-Alabama is tonight. Next hour, the dramatic conclusion of the Brouhaha Bets. And Quincy Carter rescheduled from Friday to today later on in the day, later on in the morning. We start this hour at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, where because of the Colts, embarrassing loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars and Carson Wentz puking all over himself yet again in a big spot. Never saw that coming. It left the door open for one of the most peculiar possible playoff scenarios ever. Chargers and Raiders, win and you're in. Loser walks. Steelers were getting in, assuming this didn't end in a tie. But if it did, Raiders and Chargers both going to the playoffs. So we debated this last week on the show. Plenty of people talked about this on social media. It was brought up on the pregame shows as well. If the Colts were to lose, would the Raiders and Chargers just take a knee, play for a tie, they both get in? The answer was no. And that was never really on the table. People wanted that to happen, but the people that wanted that to happen were looking at football, and I think this is kind of a, I think it's a bit of a broken way that people now view sports through fantasy, through betting, through data, through video games. I think prior to fantasy and video games and analytic-heavy data, you always viewed the game through the prism of these are human beings. These are lives. These are careers. This is the real world. These are not kind of hypotheticals played out in a computer with no real ramifications. And so the idea that two teams would agree to a tie meant you had to strip away all the competitive heat from both. And you had to strip away the you play to win and all of these things that these these human beings have been taught forever. You grow up, you play to win, you play to win, you play to win. You don't go into a game and agree to a tie so that both teams get to move on. Now, if you subtract the emotion and subtract the human being element, that seems like, well, yeah, it's just a vacuum. But you've got to run that up a million flagpoles. So Brandon Staley can't make that decision. His owner has to make that decision. That's not something that we're not going to play. We're both going to agree to take a knee, even though it could benefit both. It's got to get run up that flagpole. And then his owner, or Mark Davis on the Rich Bisaccia side of things, has to go to the league. And the league has all of these tentacles with the television network. And guess what? Sunday Night Football and Michaels and Collinsworth is not there. And guess what? Their bosses aren't there paying billions of dollars to do. Watch a 2.5 hour tie with the Niels. That's not, it's just not reality. It sounds good with your hypotheticals of non-human beings and there is nothing else in play, but it strips away the reality. It was never going to happen. Staley and Bisaccia, whether you agree or disagree in a vacuum, we're never going to punt on competitive, on the competition side of things, because it would strip away all of what they have to teach, what they have to coach. They're never going to do it. And two organizations are never going to agree to do it, especially when they hate one another. The Raiders and Chargers don't like one another. Haven't since 1960. You're never going to shake hands at midfield with your arch nemesis, with coaches and players that have been wired to win, to win, to win, to compete, and make it a mockery. You're never going to do that. So it was never really in play from a human being standpoint, even though a video game or a fantasy owner or an analytics-driven mind would say, well, you have to do that. So I never thought that was reality. What I did think that we kind of poked around last week when we debated this, because Mraz and Bogus were on the side of just play for the tie, it helps out both teams, and I was like, that's never going to happen, is I like the idea that we kind of brought up that ties are stupid to the NFL, and that's why this is a thing. In college, you can't tie. In the NBA, you don't walk away with a tie. In Major League Baseball, nobody ties. It's only that the NFL has ties that it becomes this, well, you don't have to play to win. And if you don't do away with ties, which is ostensibly there because of player safety, then you have to do away with ties in Week 18. I think that's an easy tweak. That in Week 18, it's the one week of a season where there are no ties, so that we don't get thrust into this really weird thing. And then also yesterday, if the Steelers would have tied at the end of that overtime, that throws a whole new monkey wrench into the works with two ties over the course of their season. So I think the easy change to avoid all of that commotion that was leading up till last night and could have come to fruition once they got to overtime, and then at the end of overtime had Carlson missed the field goal kick, would have been, don't let that be a thing. Just make sure in Week 18 you play to a winner. That's not that hard. It's one or two more drives hypothetically. Or you can make overtime in Week 18 sudden death. But Week 18 ties should not happen. Let's listen in on how this thing ended after a crazy regulation and end of regulation where the Chargers needed a crazy comeback, even a force OT.
Here comes the snap, ball down, kick is on the way. It is good, and the Raiders win. The Raiders have won the game. Las Vegas 35, the Los Angeles Chargers 32. The Raiders are going to the playoffs. For the first time since 2016, the Raiders are in the postseason.
Chargers call a timeout. How did that shift the strategy?
Yeah, it definitely did, obviously.
We needed to get into the right grouping. We felt like they were going to run the ball, so we wanted to get our best 11 personnel run defense in, make that substitution so that we could, you know, get a play where we would deepen the field goal.
So that was the end of this game in overtime, and what you learn is two things about these two teams. Number one, on the Raiders side, props to the Raiders for finding a way to navigate an absolutely awful set of circumstances this year in a couple of fronts. The most tragic was clearly the Henry Ruggs situation. In the middle of the year, Henry Ruggs acts like a complete and utter jerk and immature child and self-absorbed, I mean, let's call what it is, murderer, and gets behind the wheel of a car when he's clearly not in his right frame of mind, and he drives at an obscene rate and kills an innocent woman and her dog because he's trying to be cool or whatever with a girl in his front seat. And so, Henry Ruggs, you have tragedy, you have controversy, and you have a guy on your team that's immediately removed from the situation and is staring at, if not life in prison, many, many years in prison. So your teammate in the middle of the season went from overnight playing on Sundays to now he's not playing with you guys, and you have to process his life behind bars and the loss of a life. You have the John Gruden emails. Here's your coach. He's been your coach for years. He's the face of the franchise. Middle of the season, emails pop up. He goes from a Sunday he's coaching you to a Wednesday he's fired. Whoa. These are massive things to manage for an interim head coach in Rich Bisaccia. And then in week 18 for it to come down to this, and you could hang your heads after the Chargers mount that crazy comeback, even a tie, and instead to fight and fight and fight and capitalize late to kick that field goal, that's something that the Raiders should be really proud of. Maybe it's a little spirit of John Madden. John Madden's wife lighting the flame last night before the game, an emotional building, an emotional 2 weeks in Raiderland. I give the Raiders all of the credit and Rich Bisaccia all of the credit for navigating what was a remarkably difficult season. From a Charger standpoint, this is what should anger and frustrate every Chargers fan. The comeback. Number one, the Chargers are more talented than the Raiders. But, okay, in a must-win game, you dug yourselves a big hole. In a must-win game, you were down 15 points in the fourth quarter, 29-14. And when you watch Justin Herbert make that comeback, and on fourth and 21, he finds an open man in the end zone. Fourth and 21, Herbert's arm is beautiful. Drops back to pass, big, strong in that pocket, slings a pass to the end zone, perfectly placed ball, touchdown. Then you need the two-point conversion. You're down nine. They get the two-point conversion as well. Then, on the final play of the game, they need a touchdown again, 12 yards out. Again, threads the needle, a beautiful throw, a beautiful catch, touchdown Chargers. Those throws can be made consistently by like five guys of the NFL. Those are Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes at his best throws. The fact that the Chargers this year went 9-8 is a sin, is an absolute sin. You now have had one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, not one of the best young quarterbacks, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL for 2 years, and you've missed the playoffs both years. You look up and down this Chargers season, and there's games that they should not have lost. They were at home. The Patriots were flying all the way out to the West Coast. The Patriots were reeling early in the season. Rookie quarterback, remember? And they went to Los Angeles and walked away with a win 27-24. Chargers needed to have that one. Against the Steelers and an offense, remember, that obviously has been a work in progress, if not clunky and ineffective the entire season for the Steelers. The Chargers found themselves in a shootout that they had to win 41-37. The Vikings missed the playoffs. Their head coach is going to be fired. Chargers lose that game 27-20. The Chargers' run defense has been an absolute abject failure all season long. They go to Denver. The Broncos, again, a non-playoff team. They can't throw the football with their quarterback situation. And here comes the Broncos just running roughshod over the Chargers, winning 28-13. But the coup de grace of all of the embarrassment of this season was going to Texas, going to Houston, and losing to Davis Mills, Rex Burkhead, and David Culley. And getting, at times, shellacked by them. They gave up 41 points to that team. 41. That was the most inexcusable loss, you could argue, of the season, outside of the Colts yesterday, losing to the Jaguars. Yesterday, Colts-Jaguars, that's the season, that's the playoffs, and you get pounded against a 2-14 team. The second most inexcusable loss of the season was the Chargers losing at Houston. Because then it forced the hand of last night. Chargers fans should be irate. 2 years, Herbert in his prime. You missed the playoffs both years. And just, you've seen him become one of the best. And yet they still find ways to lose. Brandon Staley gets a lot of love for his aggressive play calling, his fourth down chops, his analytics, etc. You know what? Brandon Staley just pulled an Anthony Lynn. It's the same bit. Bad losses at bad times with a really good roster and really good talent. What's different? To me, Staley's got a lot of answering. A lot of answering to do. That season cannot end without the playoffs. They had too many chances to lock up a playoff spot and couldn't do so and found themselves down 15 last night to a Raiders team that's been on the brink of kind of collapse the entire season. Again, credit to the Raiders, but Chargers.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fans should be irate. When we come back here on the show, the Niners find themselves in the playoffs, and how dangerous are they? Plus, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Be on top though, because I'm 272.
That's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. 22 minutes past the hour. We appreciate you being with us on a fine Monday morning, breaking down everything from the NFL's Week 18. My, oh my! The playoff field is now set. Your playoff schedule is set as well. And one of the teams that I think is a really interesting story going into wildcard weekend is the San Francisco 49ers. Even though Jimmy Garoppolo throws 2 interceptions with that injured thumb, he throws for over 315 yards against the Rams on the road. to claim a wild card spot in the NFC. The 49ers are refusing to go down. Garoppolo wants to play, keeping Trey Lance at bay. I think Kyle Shanahan has found a way to deftly work in Deebo Samuel to both the run game and the pass game. Deebo had 4 catches for 95 yards yesterday. He was excellent, included that 43-yard big one. But he also was great running the football as well. Another 8 carries for 45 yards. So he had nearly 150 yards plus the touchdown of complete offense yesterday. Elijah Mitchell ran hard. Brandon Ayuk had more than 100 yards receiving as well. I thought in terms of an offense, that's about as well as the Niners can play. They can run the football better than that. But Garoppolo, besides those 2 picks, worked the football down the field, got him to the playmakers. You know, obviously George Kittle can be a bigger part of the offense. But when all is said and done, the Niners on the road in the division end up showing their mettle and finding a way to win to get into the postseason with a defense that also rattled Stafford a couple of times, forced him into 2 interceptions, and held him to less than 240 yards passing. Also, on the ground, maybe even more importantly, the 49ers held the Rams to less than 65 yards rushing. Sony Michel led the Rams with only 43 yards on the ground on 21 carries. It wasn't that the Rams didn't want to commit to the run. It was that they couldn't run the football. In fact, 18 of their 64 yards came on the Cooper Kupp end around. The Niners' defense is rounded into form. Garoppolo is moving the football. Shanahan's finding ways to get the ball into the hands of Deebo Samuel. The Niners are absolutely dangerous. And the Niners get to go to a place on the road of the first round where the team that they play is vulnerable. That Cowboys team, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about this matchup throughout the week, but as a Cowboys offense, forget what we saw on Saturday against the practice squad of the Eagles, has had a hard time building consistency over the last 2 months. And a head coach on the sideline that has botched plenty of game management situations and clock management this year. The Niners absolutely have a shot at winning that football game against the Cowboys on the road in Arlington coming up next weekend. That's a very dangerous Niners team. Very dangerous. And early in the season, they suffered more injuries like everybody else, but they found a way to get it all together when they got healthy, and they went 8-3 down the stretch. 8-3. And in that division, Rams, Niners, Cardinals all make the playoffs. None of them are perfect. But the Niners are the one team that has that deep playoff run experience from going to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. As for the Rams, this is the first time Sean McVay has lost a game when leading at halftime. And I look at Matthew Stafford and I wonder, that second half and in overtime, what was that? 6 of 16 with 2 interceptions when it mattered, when you could ice the game, when you could help out your seeding. It was a good season for the Rams. It still has the potential to be a great season. But for a Rams team that has gone all in on winning a Super Bowl, all in on being the team, the premier team in Los Angeles, and the elite team of the NFC, the Rams lost 5 games this year. I love Stafford. I'm glad Stafford's getting a shot with a good team of the playoffs. I'm glad he's getting a good shot with a good offensive mind in Sean McVay. But that Rams team, with all of that talent, Cooper Kupp is probably the best wide receiver in football. He's certainly the most productive. Jalen Ramsey's one of the best corners in football. Aaron Donald's the best defensive player in football. Matthew Stafford's a Pro Bowler. You've acquired Odell Beckham and Von Miller at the trade deadline. That's not a team that should be jerking around with five losses this year. That's a squad that has to win a Super Bowl, at the very least get to a Super Bowl, to validate all of these picks being traded away, all of this money being spent, and all of this potential. And Stafford of the second half was not good. He was not good. And there's just something about the soul of the Rams that feels like they can be toppled by an inferior foe. It feels like they've got all of this talent, and yet in terms of the real grit and chemistry, it feels like there's something amiss with the Rams. That they're not really dangerous, they're just really talented. And yesterday, that's a game you led 17-0, you can't lose that game. You lead 17-0 at home, you can't lose that football game. The Niners aren't built for a big comeback. Niners will travel to take on the Cowboys on Sunday. The Rams will host the Cardinals on a Monday night. Here is your NFL playoff schedule for next week. Raiders and Bengals on Saturday afternoon from Cincinnati. Patriots and Bills in Buffalo. That's Saturday night. Sunday, Eagles and Bucks from Tampa, early Sunday. Second game on Sunday, Niners at Cowboys. Late game on Sunday, Steelers at Chiefs. And then the Cardinals and Rams on Monday Night Football. Mraz, I don't know what to make of the Rams. Super talented, 17-0 lead yesterday. They've got all the pieces to win a Super Bowl. They find a way to lose. Makes me worry about them in January.
And again, it's a Matt Stafford pick in overtime at the end there that absolutely cost them. Yeah, they cannot be trusted because their quarterback can't be trusted. I actually think because of that, that's the most fascinating matchup of the weekend, seeing how the Cardinals collapse and seeing what happens Monday night.
Because the Cardinals collapse at the end of the season.
Right, exactly. So now what are the Cardinals? Can they regroup? They win that big game in Dallas a week ago, and you're facing a Ram team that Matt Stafford can hand a team 6 points at any given time. I think it makes for a fascinating game on Monday night.
Out of all of the wild card matchups, what road team can win? What road teams can win? Cardinals can win that football game.
Yes, they can.
Niners can beat the Cowboys.
Absolutely can win that game.
I don't trust the Raiders. It's a great story. I don't think the Bengals are unbeatable, but I don't trust the Raiders.
Yes, but I also don't trust the Bengals. It's their first arrival in this spot. I could very much see a wacky game like you saw last night where the teams go back and forth offensively.
Patriots can beat the Bills. They've done it already this year in Buffalo.
The Bills are not built to win in bad weather and struggled yesterday for three quarters in bad weather.
Obviously, it's going to be frigid and icy. We'll see if there's any precipitation or wind coming up on Saturday night. But you can't imagine that a night game in Buffalo is going to be a pleasant experience.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Eagles at Bucks. I don't really give Philly a chance there.
And I think the NFL knew that. Otherwise, they would have put Tom Brady in prime time again.
And I don't give the Steelers a chance to win at Arrowhead.
No. I think that will be a welcome, much-needed sleep for all of us by halftime Sunday night.
That's your wildcard weekend matchups. The byes go to the Titans, and the byes go to the Green Bay Packers. Now, we should have Andrew Bogish.
Where is this guy?
Kick it around at some point.
Somewhere.
Bogish, where is he?
Bogish signing autographs?
We guess. We think. Who knows? Does he have something up his sleeve? Is this another surprise? I don't know.
Maybe
where is this guy?
Trying to find us a mic.
Here he is.
Now, Pete, on Mraz's mic, do you hear that it's a little hollow, a little tinny?
I do. We've had this problem for about, how long? I don't know, maybe like a couple weeks now. We've had this problem with something happening with Mraz's mic. There's
right.
Something with the mic.
Right.
Whether it be, you know, can't hear him loud or it's tinny. It's been a joy to be around this mic.
It sounds a little bit like Mraz is talking into a tomato can. We can hear him, but it sounds a little hollow and tinny in there.
Last week, we couldn't hear him.
Now, the engineer came in and he's been busting his butt trying to fix this during the show. And I said, yeah, the only thing is that I said, Mraz's mic sounds a little tinny. And he listened to it and said, I don't hear anything. Ugh. And he said, it sounds normal to me. And I go, well, have Pete speak and then Mraz speak. And then you guys both spoke and he still didn't hear it. And I thought I was going crazy thinking that maybe. And he said, well, maybe your earpiece isn't plugged all the way in, but I think that it is. And so can I just get a test 1-2 check? And then, Bogues, tell me if Mraz's mic sounds the same. Okay, let's get Bilotti first.
1-2, 1-2.
Okay.
We're going to fat check.
Now, does that sound different to you, or is that my headset?
No. It sounds different. I've noticed it from the first time Sean spoke this morning, okay. And I'm a little concerned that our engineer can't hear the difference between those two things.
And mind you, I came into a computer that flat out would not turn on and wouldn't work, only to find out when they finally replaced the computer, Shep was still signed in. So... start following the breadcrumbs of the last person to use this station microphone and computer, and we can start adding things up.
And I basically busted my hand slamming the desk because this is very frustrating.
There is a Pete the Body. I don't know if Cap caught this on video. Slamming his head. Bah! 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 Because he is so fired up, rightfully so.
Like a WWE ref.
At least they got a mat to hit on. I have this table. Good thing I have strong hands.
And this is completely different from last week. Last week it sounded like you were on 2. Your volume was on 2. We were all on 10. This now sounds like you're on an intercom and a fishbowl. It's a completely other thing.
And also, it's frustrating. I'm on 2.5 hours sleep because I'm watching Staley throw up all over himself, and I can't even have a conversation with DA about it because I got engineers in here left and right trying to fix mics that don't work. I mean, what am I doing here? I can't do my job.
You want my drive-thru order? I'll take a number 3 plus a couple of snacks, so bear with me here. A 4-piece nug, a junior bacon cheeseburger.
Wow.
Give me a Frosty for now.
And a Diet Coke.
And a Diet Coke.
Let's
Thank
be
you.
Honest. I'm here for one reason today anyway, to be fat ass painted in blue outside after the show. So in the end, that's what matters.
That's right. Coming up after the show at 10 a.m. Eastern time, Mraz will be shirtless, body painted in nothing but blue, on the street in frigid weather here in New York, apologizing to Giants fans for his misguided loyalty. You can watch as I am streaming it live on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. We are streaming it live at Damon Amendo. Find me there. Follow me there. At 10 a.m., we are going live and plenty of pregame preparation and coverage leading up to the event all morning long. Andrew Bogish has our headlines.
DA, they played for real. They didn't have to, but they played for real. The Raiders building a 15-point fourth-quarter lead, but the Chargers rallied, converting roughly 84 fourth downs to force OT with 2 touchdown drives in the last 4-plus minutes of regulation. Then they traded field goals in extra time, dragging us and the Steelers along for the ride. Then finally, Daniel Carlson kicked his 5th field goal of the night as time expired for a 35-32 win, Vegas' first postseason since 2016. The Chargers go home. The Steelers instead get the last wild card. Justin Herbert threw 64 times, 3 touchdowns, but not enough for LA.
It didn't go our way tonight, and that's the unfortunate part. And I'm really proud of the way that everyone's battled this year, and we never gave up. And it's an honor to be a part of this team and to be a part of that locker room, because everyone cares a lot, and they left everything out there on the field tonight, and it didn't go our way, and we gave it our best effort, and that's the tough part.
The Raiders have a quick turnaround now, playing in Cincinnati to start Saturday's postseason schedule. The Patriots and Bills follow from Buffalo. The Chiefs and Steelers play on Sunday night. Sunday also has the Bucks hosting the Eagles, Cowboys, Niners, because San Francisco won a thriller over the Rams 27-24 in OT to get in. LA still won the West and hosts Arizona on Monday night. But really, who had a better day than the Jaguars? They put all of that AFC madness into motion by shaming the Colts, and they kept the number one pick because the Lions beat the Packers. The bad news began yesterday for head coaches. The Broncos firing Vic Fangio after 3 losing seasons. Matt Rhule not getting fired in Carolina, but apparently needs to hire, quote, a rock star offensive coordinator. He's apparently targeting Bill O'Brien and Jay Gruden, among others. Now, college football takes the stage this evening as Alabama and Georgia meet again for the national title in Indy. Novak Djokovic, free to enter Australia, has his visa after a court decision today. However, government officials can still cancel that visa at any point, so we'll see if Djokovic actually makes it safely to the Aussie Open next week. All of this because he remains unvaccinated. For the first time in 941 days, Klay Thompson played an NBA game last night.
Thompson, the catch up top, has Allen as his defender, takes the big man to the right wing, crossover, goes right by him, down the lane for the dunk! He dunked it! Chase Center erupts in joy.
Tim Roy, Warriors Radio. Klay, 17 points in 20 minutes, returning from his torn ACL, then torn Achilles. The Dubs made him a winner, 96-82 over the Cavs. Steph Curry at 28. The Mavs snapped the Bulls' nine-game win streak, 113-99. Luka Doncic, 22 points, 14 rebounds, 14 assists. And the T-Wolves outscored the Rockets, 141-123. Karl Anthony Towns, 40 points, 9 boards, 7 assists. Men's college hoops, number 23 Wisconsin, blew a 21-point lead, but still got a 5-game win streak, 70-69 at Maryland. And now,
woo!
We're stunned again.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
It's a three-peat for Stephanie Maddow.
Wow.
And her expensive gas.
Wow, much like Michael Jordan's Bulls, we have a three-peat.
It's the same exact thing.
Wow.
Farts to farts.
It's greatness.
You'll remember that Miss Maddow made roughly $200K selling her jarred flatulence to crazy fans, but then made herself sick by eating gassy food to boost business. So first she said...
And Mraz pointed out that this was chemically enhanced beef.
Yes, right.
PED, so to speak.
PED, yeah. Performance-enhancing drugs she used. So these heaters, as he put it, were not authentic or natural. This was the Meguiar Sosa of beefs.
She corked her bet.
Yeah, but those gentlemen paid a price. She hasn't. She just keeps plugging along because instead of
retiring. And she couldn't keep up with demand. That was why she had to do this.
But instead of retiring, which was her first plan, she is now, and I want to thank everyone that sent me this one as well over the weekend.
Everybody that knows our show.
Exactly. Maddow is now selling her farts as NFTs, non-fungible tokens, and you can pay for them in cryptocurrency, none of which I understand that last sentence, period. So no more jarred gas. Instead, you can pay her for graphic art of fart jokes. They cost 0.05 or 5. I don't even know how to read this. 5 cents Ethereum, which apparently is 186 U.S. actual dollars for, again, drawings of jarred farts with faces on them and colorful backgrounds.
Is she drawing them?
No, she has a partner because she's not an artiste in this realm. But this is a partnership that, again, you can't get the real thing, but you can still get something in honor of her sting.
So I just want to recollect what has happened here, according to Mike Zimmer. Stephanie Maddow was a reality star of 90 Day Fiancé. She had enough fans that must have asked her for her jarred gas or what her gas smells like to where she thought, maybe I can make some money off of this.
Yeah.
She then jars her toots, sells them online, ends up realizing, oh my God, I can actually make a good living doing this, and I'm now famous because she's getting a lot of social media traction. She then, though, becomes so popular in this industry that she cannot keep up with demand, so she begins eating gaseous food to try to crank out more jarred gas and ends up sending her to the hospital with what doctors would later call a fart attack.
Yeah, she thought she was having a heart attack. She was just super gassy.
Really gassy, and realized this is bad for my health. And so now, because she realized it was a lucrative place in the market, she said instead of actually jarring these toots, this gas, these gaseous blobs, what we're going to do is we're going to have a friend of mine draw the toots. And we're going to sell those as NFTs, which some have labeled fart art.
Yes, and very rare few will not only get the NFT, they'll also get signed lingerie with it as well.
Okay.
Which, look, you get a fart in a can,
You don't get that anymore.
No, but the fake, the very rare physical fart jars with the lingerie. That's
the very rare, the limited edition.
The limited edition.
Okay.
So you get that, you get the signed lingerie, and you get the cartoon. That's a big package. I got a Doc Gooden signed baseball with a ticket stub that was no hitter. I'd trade that all right now for this.
You would.
Yeah, and let's face it, Stephanie, very beautiful, too. I mean, that's another part of this.
Very beautiful?
Yes, in this article specifically that Bogus just sent.
Well, how about this whole activity she's doing? Does that make her more or less attractive?
No, that makes her more attractive. It makes her human.
Really? Wow, because I find it to be reprehensible.
Well, good. Get out of the way.
More for Sean. There's a quote from a guy who wants to be called John in the article where he says he has many fetishes. One of them is like just smelling a real woman. Like, no, that's how close he wants to be. So he appreciated
the fart. You can go to a hotel lobby and do that.
No, we can't just walk up to sniff a stranger.
Yeah, but you sit in a chair and watch somebody.
Nah, yeah. Oh, no. There's a difference between Marge in the postal office and Stephanie Maddow.
Yeah.
What do you mean you smell her? You're smelling her intestine. You're not smelling her perfume.
That's her in her naturalist form.
No.
Yeah. I mean,
no.
I don't want it, but I can almost see the logic.
That's air that comes through her lower intestine. That is not how she smells. That's not smelling her hair.
Literally from inside of her, DA, is exactly how she smells.
That's the most natural of smell.
Right.
Well, okay. Would you want her to wake up after a long night's sleep and blow her morning breath into a jar and close that up?
Ooh, that's a poll question.
I'd take it.
Ew! Those are gross smells. Those are disgusting scents.
Yeah, but if it's a beautiful, beautiful woman, it humanizes them.
What do you mean it humanizes them?
Yeah, because they feel like they're out of this world. They're not in the same realm. If they have the same doggy breath and the same enchilada gas I have, it makes me feel connected, and it makes a lot of people feel connected.
Romantically connected?
God. Yeah, it's kind of hot.
It's hot?
I mean, it's not the hottest part of them.
The least hottest part about your spouse is when they wake up and breathe in your face. That's the least hottest thing they'll ever do. The second least is when they pick up their thigh and squeak one out. These are the worst parts
yeah,
of us.
But I'm sure that would be disgusting to me if I've lived with Stephanie Maddow for 6 years. But it's the attraction now that draws me in.
You want to eat Mila Kunis' boogers next?
Ooh.
That's where I draw the line.
Oh, that's where you draw.
Because now I'm actually eating something.
Would you just take her booger? Because
no,
she'd pick her nose and put it in some kind of like vial
no,
for you.
No, a booger's weird because it's physical. The breath and the fart, literally, they pass by. It's like a train moving past the station. You get a whiff and you move on.
Dump's a dump.
3 for 3. How many days of Stunt to a News can we do Stephanie Maddow?
I mean, let's come back tomorrow to Sean reluctantly going, I'll take it for her breath in a jar.
Oh. When we return, can the Steelers give Big Ben one final ride? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's going to be a good day with DA.
In overtime to try to win it, a 36-yard effort for the magic of Buzz, the young man from Rice. The ball is down. The kick is on its way. That kick is up. That kick is good. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have defeated the Baltimore Ravens, and the Steelers are headed for playoff land.
Pretty special. You know, do you expect anything different in this rivalry? This place, and you know, it's special. I mean, anytime you can come to this place and get a win, people always ask me, where's my least favorite place to play? And it's always Baltimore, and it's for a couple reasons. One, because of how good the team usually is in the defense. This place is always crazy loud, and the fans are ruthless, which I think that's a compliment, you know, to this place and how hard it is to play here. So it's pretty special to get the win.
Bill Hillgrove on Steelers Radio, Ben Roethlisberger after the win. Doing more, sponsored by the Home Depot. Right now at the Home Depot, enjoy savings on top-rated appliances online, in stores, or on the Home Depot app. The Home Depot, how doers get more done, U.S. only. While supplies last, ends January 26th, 2022. How about those Steelers? Winning in overtime 16-13 in Baltimore, then watching the Raiders beat the Chargers, which stamped their playoff tickets for Big Ben to Arrowhead Stadium. They'll face the Chiefs next weekend. This is remarkable. I mean, how many times did we stick a fork in the Pittsburgh Steelers and Big Ben this year? Really, from day one? And that's when they went to Buffalo and won impressively. But before the season, people thought this was a mistake. Why bring back Roethlisberger? He's toast. He's old. He can't move. He never looked like he could move throughout this season. And yet, they never stopped battling, and you got to give them credit for that. They have to win that Heinz Field game last Monday night against the Browns. They have to find a way to win yesterday in what was a really ugly game against the Ravens. They got to get help from the Jacksonville Jaguars. And yet, lo and behold, all of the things they needed happened, and that started with them winning that football game. The Steelers are the least pretty playoff team of the last decade. Nothing about this team is pretty. The quarterbacking, the passing, the running, the coaching, the defense, everything is just kind of clunky and slow moving and punchy in the mouth and kind of endure. But damn, they're in the playoffs. And I would imagine they get boat raced by the Chiefs. I would imagine this is a 2-touchdown win by Kansas City. But hell, we've all counted out the Steelers every step along the way already, so why should this be any different? No matter if this ends ingloriously in Kansas City or not, it's been a hell of a final run for Big Ben. It's been a pretty cool thing to watch. That every week we think this is the end, this is the finale, this is the time to wave goodbye, and yet they just keep surviving and advancing. So before the season, if you would have said, okay, you bring back Big Ben for one last try and you make the playoffs, you would have signed up for it. When we come back here on the show, the Bills and Bills Mafia finally get a home playoff game that they can attend. It's next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.